Great to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins in our studio. He comes by once a month on the last Tuesday of the month and talks to us about things happening outside the legislative sessions, which again, we'll gavel to order here in a couple of months. And we're going to talk about a few things preparatorily speaking with Brad today regarding those sessions. Also talk about a tax that's about ready to go into effect that you have an opportunity to exempt yourself from and want to get you kind of some words about that. And again, also a few things happening in November down here with relation to the upcoming legislative sessions in mind. And Brad, it's always good to see you.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, thanks for having me in studio. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. So the legislative sessions are right around the bend, and we're going to talk about a couple of things related to those. But first, let's talk about this long-term care tax, because this is something that for a lot of folks maybe kind of snuck underneath the radar in, I guess, recent sessions this law was passed. And it's going to go into effect soon, and we've been hearing a little bit more and more and more about it as we get closer and closer to the deadline, which is looming in a few days.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, the legislature approved a long-term care program back in 2019. I voted against it, but it's labeled the Washington Cares Fund, which establishes a fund, but to pay for people's long-term care, everyone is going to be taxed as a payroll tax. It is the equivalent of $5.80 per $1,000 of earnings, and that is something that's going to be applied to everybody's payroll beginning January 1st. But people do have until November 1st to apply for an exemption to opt out of the program. But in order to do that, they need to prove that they have long-term care insurance through a private provider. And the reason I voted against it, I mean, I'm not opposed to people's long-term care. I think it's a very important issue. It is very costly. It's something that I think we all have family members or one way or another, we're kind of connected to people who have been in need of long-term care. But this particular program is going to tax people for their entirety of their working careers, especially young people who are working to try to save for a house or pay off student loans. And the way it works is the way it's set up right now, it's not a portable plan. So if people accumulate and pay into the system and then move away to a neighboring state or anywhere else outside of Washington, they are not going to be eligible to receive the long-term care benefit. And the long-term care benefit in accordance with the current law as it was originally passed, and it may change, but is maxed out at $36,500, which for those of us who are familiar with people with long-term care needs, I mean, that only covers really maybe 6 months of their long-term care. So the only thing really long-term about it is the tax portion of it. And the care benefit is going to probably be short term. It's just going to be a challenging program to implement. The legislature might make adjustments to the law in future sessions, but if people do want to opt out, secure long-term care through a private provider and then apply for an exemption through the Washington Employment Security Department by November 1st.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So you've got less than a week to do that. Again, November 1st would be next Monday, I believe. So, right. Brad, it seems like, just in that kind of cursory explanation, it seems like there's a few things that don't make a lot of sense about the way that they're doing this exactly, especially on the front end with somebody who maybe is about to retire or about to need long-term care potentially. Who's still working, maybe they've only got a few years left to work, they're not going to accrue very much. And again, as you mentioned, a wage earner just entering the marketplace, teenager, even, out of college, something like that, they're going to be paying this tax for a long time, but then maximize the most that they can actually put into this in a pretty short amount of time at a very irrational amount, because again, $36,000, having had one person in my life, my mom, go through long-term care, $36,000, like you said, 6 months was even probably pushing it what it would cover.
Right. And that's not really long-term. And also, people, it's not really like a separate account that you're paying into your own account, like a 401k or something like that. You're basically being taxed as part of your income earnings. And then over time, that's supposed to fund benefits for people who qualify. And so basically, it's not really tied to something that you're individually putting into and then receiving a benefit from. So, but again, I don't mean to diminish the importance of long-term care. It's very important. If people want to get private insurance, I encourage that as well. But it's a big decision come November 1st, for this program.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like a lot. The cost of a latte every $1,000 you make, but it adds up. I mean, and especially since we're being taxed more probably heavily than we ever have been all the time with different
things.
Right.
And like you said, it was one of those bills that kind of snuck up on people because, you know, we had the carbon cap and trade bill. We have this capital gains income tax that was approved. We had this slew of police reform measures and other, you know, budget and all these things. And so the long-term care program was a bill that was hotly debated in Olympia, but it hasn't really made a lot of news until the deadline's approaching.
Yeah. All right. So again, just a heads up from Senator Hawkins, who's in studio with us today here on the Coho Morning Show about that. So if you're interested in opting out, need to do so by next Monday. And there's plenty of ways for you to look into that. Just contact a private insurance provider. I'm sure they'll have a lot more details for you as far as getting signed up. Brad, speaking of those legislative sessions, they're around the bend here in a couple of months, and middle of next month you're getting kind of in geared up for them with something called committee days.
Yeah, so in a couple of weeks we are gathering. This year it'll be virtual, but the legislators, at least in the Senate and also in the House, I'm not sure what their dates are, gathered together for a few days, usually the week in mid-November, to, you know, have committee hearings, to get briefings, to kind of gather as caucuses and talk about the upcoming legislative session. We're hoping to have a decision about what type of legislative session we'll have this year. I think it will be a hybrid session with part of the days in person and part of the days or committees via virtual remote opportunities. But I think it'll be a good opportunity to do that. And then the Senate Republican Caucus is having a three-day retreat to kind of plan for strategy for the upcoming session. So that's usually what happens around this time in the fall when we start looking ahead towards next session. And then beginning in December, legislators can sponsor and pre-file individual pieces of legislation. And then, you know, the holidays, and then we're off and running in January.
Yeah. Almost sounds like one of those days the kids would dread at the fair, like committee days. Come on out for committee days. And kids would go, no, I don't want to. It sounds
honestly
boring.
Legislators dread it. Some legislators, I'm sure, dread it. But it is a good way to kind of reconnect and kind of warm up to the session.
Well, it's good to know. It's good to know the legislators kind of feel the same way about a few of these things for sure. So, all right, committee days are around the bend for you, though, and again, preparation for the legislative sessions. And then, Brad, also November 15, a big day as far as the announcement of redistricting is concerned.
Yeah, that's something I think we've talked about on Coho before. You know, that's something that also has kind of snuck up on people. But every 10 years, based on the census, the Washington State Redistricting Commission, which is comprised of four commissioners, voting commissioners, and one non-voting. Anyway, they have to approve a final plan by November 15th that draws the lines and rebalances the districts for all of the 49 different state legislative districts, of which the 12th district is one, as well as the 10 federal congressional districts, which we kind of have two of here because we're kind of split. And so there have been different proposals, been a lot of public comments. It's been all virtual mostly. And then by November 15th, the redistricting commissioners are likely to approve a final plan for the next 10 years. And hopefully that will result in positive sort of maps for the 12th district in North Central Washington. But those will be in place for the next 10 years. And the legislature will essentially ratify those in January of 2022. Next session, but we won't really be able to adjust them. But that's a big deal. I don't know that too many people have really focused on the redistricting process, but it's coming to a conclusion here real soon.
Yeah, there was one, as I recall, the three proposals, one that was barely tweaked at all, another that was kind of tweaked, and then another that really made no sense at all. It was just kind of ludicrous. But if that second one that I referenced is actually, comes into play, you could be having a few more Billy Burgers out in Wilbur here at some point in the future,
right? One of them pulled into Lincoln County. One of them stretched out towards Monroe and past Monroe. I guess, you know, my preference would be that the 12th legislative district of Chelan County, Douglas County, part of Okanagan, part of Grant, it mostly stays the same. But the reality is, based on the census data, there have been population growth in Western Washington and underreporting of population in Central and Eastern Washington. So the reality is, over the course of the whole map for legislative districts, and in part for the federal congressional, is the Central and Eastern Washington districts are going to grow a little bit larger, and the Western Washington districts are going to condense. But in the end, each legislative district, even though they're different sized puzzle pieces in different geography, they're supposed to balance out by population and voters so that we all are taking votes to represent in our representative democracy approximately the same number of people. And so that's the the reason we have redistricting, and that's the reason it's going on now every 10 years, even because of COVID and all these other challenges that we still have.
Yeah, and I would imagine for a legislator like yourself, realigning your constituency would probably be tantamount to like a salesperson or a delivery driver having to adjust their route, per se, or an employee having to go work at a store across town for part of their time or something like that.
Right, and for me, I pride myself in being accessible to the constituents I serve. I want everybody in the district, even if they're on the outskirts, to not in any way feel underrepresented. So I'm not just a Wenatchee Valley-based state senator. I mean, I'm up in Okanagan County, up in the Methow in Grant County. But if we reach over, for example, into, past Highway 2 over into Western Washington, that gets more difficult to access those constituencies. And it is important to me, being a legislator from the 12th district that's sort of on the border with Western Washington and the Cascade Crest, that we have a district that not only represents our values and similarities for resource areas and things, but also, the legislators and the constituents are kind of accessible to each other. And so I'll be watching those redistricting, the final plan, pretty closely, and I'll be hoping for good news November 15th.
All right. Well, we're all anxious to see what happens. So, again, we'll find out on November 15th. Again, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show. He joins us on the final Tuesday of every month during non-legislative times, and when those legislative sessions gavel, he'll join us once a week to bring us updates from Olympia. Brad, I appreciate the time as always very much. Stay well, and we'll look forward to our next chat.
Sounds great, Chris. Thanks so much.